We're going to get started with a word of prayer in just a second, but did everybody get one of these? Does everyone have the new one? Did you get one when you stepped into the door? If not, just raise your hand and we'll make sure you get one. Okay. Did you get one? You don't have one. Can someone get David? All right. Was everyone able to kind of look over a little bit? We did go through this in the morning message. And I did give you homework to go through the list of areas that a wife may express love to her husband and areas where a husband can express love to his wife. And you were to circle or check mark the ones that you're neglecting. How many of you got to do that? You got to do the homework. Good. That's kind of a, if you haven't done it, it's a good way to just ask the Holy Spirit to show you areas of your life that you can practically show love. This will do it. You know, have you ever heard of the Love Dare book that came out with Kirk Cameron's movie called Fireproof? How many of you have seen Fireproof? Yeah, there's a book that goes with it called Love Dare. And a lot of these things can coordinate with the truths in that book. But this is a much more condensed version, obviously. So I would encourage you to take this as homework and do it. But we're going to talk about how love applies to marriage today. And then next week, we're going to look at how a husband is to listen to his wife. And a wife is to listen to her husband. So much of marriage gets turned upside down because we don't listen carefully. And we don't gather data. We just go based on our assumptions, which the Bible tells us on every page to live according to our feelings, doesn't it? Live according to your fear. Is that what God says? Live according to your false assumptions and your deceitful suspicions. Is that what the Bible tells us? Lean not to your own understanding. The heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. So we're going to, I gave you a little bit, I'll expand it for next week, but I gave you a little bit of a taste for next week. Just a couple of pages about how we can lead by listening. And I'm also going to add a section there for next week about supporting your husband by listening. You know, just by listening to what he says, not letting panic rule your heart. So we're going to get into that next week, but let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer. And by the way, Marcel, do you have that microphone? Okay, good. So we will want your interaction. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Calm our hearts now. Help us to jump into your word to really understand how marriage is not about what we can get, but about what we can give. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, from a little child, the world presents to children and all of us that, you know, you should be looking for Mr. Right, or if you're a man, Miss Perfect. And even though we know as a Christian that is a completely wrong view of marriage, to look at for a spouse that's going to be a savior to you. You know, that's totally backwards, isn't it? But we have that temptation. And every single day of your life and of my life, we are going to struggle with making our spouse our savior. We're going to want them like we should be wanting Jesus. But God says, no, be my vessel, serve them as if you were the Lord. Serve them, but don't look to get served. And that's really the message of discipleship in the New Testament. You know, he didn't come to be served, but to what? Give his life to serve, and to give his life as a ransom. That's what love is. It is to you, for you to be the ransom, for you to pay the price instead of your spouse. And that's what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about. And I want to talk about practical ways and get your input into renewing our minds so that we look towards marriage as something that we need to give. Now, confession time, okay? This week, God convicted me very, very strongly about my marriage because, you know, I as a pastor, I counsel all of you and I give advice. That's my job, right? But the hardest place for me to pastor is in my relationship with Jill. It's the hardest place. And I've asked the Lord for years. I mean, for years. I've been married almost 19 years. A couple weeks, it'll be our 19th anniversary. And it seems like I just have a hard time serving my wife. Does anybody have a hard time serving their spouse? It's the hardest. I mean, seriously, if and my wife sees it, and it's such an inconsistency in my life. My wife has seen me over all of my years of ministry, the last since 1997, since we got married. That I'm willing to do anything for the Lord. I mean, I will do it day or night. But the real test of my Christianity is, am I willing to do anything for my spouse? That's where the rubber meets the road. Because I don't have to go home and sleep and live with any of you. We can go home and everything's fine. There's a barrier. But I live and have all my quirks and foibles with Jill. So that's the real test of our Christianity. Can we agree on that? So now we look at, okay, well, I want to do this. Are you committed? Do you want to serve? Don't think about how can I serve the church. That's gonna happen. That's the context of 1 Corinthians 13, is the church. How can we serve one another in the body? But I want to ask you, if you're married, that, or thinking about marriage, or open to marriage, that are you willing to say, God, I want my church at home to be consistent with what I am at the church in Roselle? Are you willing for that? If so, I want you to notice how this chapter is outlined, and we're familiar with it. We've talked about it. What love is, right? And then what does it say? What love is not, yeah, what love isn't, and what love is always. So it's just a kind of a way to see life, to see what you're supposed to be doing in life, to make the right choices in your, we're going to apply this to marriage. So sometimes we think that there's a lot of different ways the world tells us to see love. How does the world see love as opposed to God? What I feel, what I say and do, that's more like what God's kind of love, self-sacrificing love is. But many times the idea of love is misunderstood because you think it's emotional or that it's affirmation. God so affirmed the world. No, God wasn't impressed with the world. You know, God was not impressed with the world. And sometimes we confuse love with either physical attraction or an attraction to their character. And we say, well, I really love my wife. Well, really, You're getting the idea of love as what she provides you. I love her because of what she does for me. I love him because of what he does for me. That's selfish love. Let's get that love out of the picture. We didn't get married so that we could have a maid and a cook and just, you know, all of the things to do for me. We got married and or to get money or whatever. You know, we got married to display the love of Christ, right? So, God so loved the world that he gave his most precious gift of heaven. All that he had. His only son. And so, it's not based on the worthiness of who you're married to. Right? So you say, well, you don't know what my spouse does to me. You don't know how ungrateful they are. How wretched they are. Have you looked in the mirror? Have you done a serious look at your own soul? Why does God love you? Is it based on your worthiness? Does he just really appreciate you? So I want to get that in our minds, okay? Love in marriage is a verb, okay? Everybody say that. Love in marriage is a verb. It's a verb. Love is a verb. It's not something that, I mean, yes, we receive it from God, but when we think about marriage, we want to do something. It's a doing verb. It's an action verb. And so I want us to look on, if you've got your notes on page 32, what love is. So I want to ask you some questions here as you look at what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Pretty simple as far as the positive goes. Just two qualities. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is willing to be taken advantage of as long as we can serve that person. That's what patience is. It's a willingness to be inconvenienced. It's long suffering. You're waiting on someone. It's hard. You know, think of even a waiter. You know, you're holding the dishes. This is your 10th hour on the job, and you're just trying to serve. And what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? That's patience. And kindness. Kindness is being useful to somebody. Serving them, helping them, lifting a burden, giving them what they need. Now, in marriage, it's so easy to complain, isn't it? Well, she never does anything. Well, he never does this. That's not what love's about. It's about you serving. You see how this transforms your mentality? If I've got my mind on my spouse, am I going to be a very happy person? If all I'm doing is examining what they're messing up with, how they're failing me, they're just not what I need. They're not the savior that I need. They're not infinite. They're not omniscient. They should know what I'm thinking. We often look to our spouse as God, as if they should know. What's wrong? Nothing. In other words, you should know what I'm thinking, and you should know it's so obvious. You should be like God to me. And so we struggle with that, don't we? So patience, kindness, giving up our way. What are some ways that we can be kind to our spouse? Let me talk to the men. What are some ways that you can lift the burden for your wife? Again, it's a mentality, right? Maybe you have some stories where God convicted you and you began to serve. You began to see how she is working all the time in the home. Yeah, Joe. We get a...
Yeah, I think I speak with some level of experience after 44 years of marriage. I think one of the things that happens is that you learn where each other's buttons are at. And it's pretty easy to tit for tat when you get upset at some set of circumstances. So one of the things that I know is true of me is that I would go for that, and obviously it never ended well. So one of the things that I just started asking God to do is to give me patience. And he reminded me of something I learned when I was probably 4 years old or 7 years old or something like that, and that is bite your tongue. You know, when you want to say something, bite your tongue. And over the last several years, I tell you what, this tongue is worn out. and it's an important, not the biting of your tongue, but it's an important recognition to know that we've got this simple ability to irritate the single person that we love the most on this earth, because we know where those buttons are at. Mm-hmm. And we have to pick our own individual ways to refrain from pushing them.
Yes. It's good, button pushing. Refrain from button pushing, Bill. That's patience. Being willing to not press the buttons.
Well, I remember when the Lord got a hold of Nancy and I and brought us the faith to live our lives for him. And I remember right off the bat, as God really gave me a heart for other people, and I started to share my faith at work. And there was a lot of questions that were coming up, and I'd come home at night and, you know, I'd start digging in the Bible. You know, this guy asked me this. I got to find this out. I got to get back to him and everything else. And I'm spending all this time preparing to share with others. And then God really convicted me because Nancy says, "What about us?"
Yeah. Yeah.
And it really brought a conviction. You know, that's my first responsibility at home.
It's huge.
Is to nurture my wife and my family. You know, so that was a real time when God really showed me that, you know, my responsibility as a husband. As a spiritual husband, that I need to love my wife and share the truth with her more than anything else. If I can't do it at home, I can't do it anywhere else.
Wow. And I've heard you ladies, when your husband is reading the word and he's in prayer, he's ready to serve, isn't he? He's ready to serve you. He's on the right page. And then if he's leading you in prayer and leading you in the word, washing you in the word. So, men, I guess that is something that, a practical thing that we can do is, let's not just be about the ministries God has given us in the world and in the church. But if you're married, men, the kindest thing that you can do is to, even just, doesn't have to be a long sermon. I know us men, sometimes we're either hot or cold. And we need to be hot, but that doesn't mean, you know, giving our wives a 2-hour sermon once a month when we feel spiritual. It's better to just something small each day, something to nibble on, something to encourage her. Not shoving it down her throat, just a little morsel of sweetness each day, you know. Wouldn't you say that would be a wonderful way to love your wife? Just by maybe reading a devotional together. It's a lot of great devotionals, you know. You can even take this home and read like an attribute of love once a day and pray about it.
A detail to that point. There's a lot of things that come up in our relationships with our spouse that it's not the first time they've come up. And God is pretty loving to give us, either wife or husband, to give us the better answer from him. in those circumstances. And so at the time that it happens, the first time, second time, third time, we may not have those thoughts, but then we have them. And I think if that occurs, if God's been good to us to give us those kind of things, then when those circumstances come up, you're talking about a quick little thing. And that's exactly it, to remind, to say, hey, what did God say? You know, stuff like that. Just little tidbits that get her thinking about the things that God has told you to get her thinking about. And I think the same thing can be true with the wives coming back to the husbands. Hey, you know, didn't you tell me this? Or didn't you say that about this person? Well, you know, where's your mirror at, kind of thing. So I think that maybe is a couple of little details to flesh out that kind of discussion you're talking about.
Yes. So to make it very simple, we'll get just 1 second. So to make it very simple is the positive and the negative. Don't get mad. Don't be patient. Don't let yourself, when that button is pushed, don't let yourself go over the edge. It's really simple, isn't it? Just don't let yourself go there, and instead be kind. And Ephesians 4, yeah, it just sounds so simple. It's easy to understand. It's very hard to do. But Ephesians 4 fleshes the patience and love aspect out. It says, you know, take out the trash of bitterness and anger and malice and shouting, blowing up, clamming up. And, you know, get rid of that malice. And so in other words, be patient. How do you do that? I mean, it's so hard. This is one of the things I was praying about, and I'll get to you, David, in just a second. But I was praying about this week. I am so easily offended. I have such thick skin at church and thick skin in the world, but very, very thin skin in my home. And I've been praying about this, you know. There hasn't been any World War III's in my home. It's just that internally I allow certain things to control me that I shouldn't, that, you know, my wife may or may not even be aware that I'm offended. But you know what I found out was the difference in being patient or not being patient, losing my temper or not losing my temper? Prayer. Prayer. What is prayer? It's getting real with God. Are you getting real with God? So don't lament the fact that you're impatient if you don't have a prayer life. And I know life gets busy. You can go without prayer for a week, sometimes a month. I mean, not total no prayer. You're praying. But self-examination kind of prayer where you say, oh, God, help me. That kind of prayer needs to be done on a daily basis. And that's the easiest kind of prayer to neglect. So if you lack patience, it's because you lack the presence of God in your life. And you need to get alone with God. And wrestle with him. Lord, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And you get up from a time of prayer like that, and you're ready to serve your spouse. You got the energy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. David, you were going to say something.
I think of two areas. One is love thy neighbor as thyself. And isn't your spouse your closest neighbor? And I also think, for me, that's the most difficult thing there is to love your neighbor as yourself. And perhaps for some people, that complicates the matter when they're married. Like you said, you have to work at it. The other area I think of is, listen to this. This is out of Romans. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Well, doesn't your spouse deserve 1,000 times more consideration than that?
Mm-hmm. Amen. It's right there. So really, it's what, yeah, Joaquin. As he's bringing the microphone, it's really about not being self-focused, but others focused. Not being self-serving, but others serving.
One thing that Christine and I always think about is that what is that depends on me? So we did this one class before we got married. What I got out of it is, like, as long as it depends on me, this is going to work out. Then fill in the blank, you know.
Yes.
So does this situation depends on me? And, like, we live one day at a time. So in one day, if we're passing through, like, whatever it is, to do well, does it depend on me? So if it does, why won't it work out?
I love that. So what I hear you saying, Joaquin, is that a lot of this is about taking personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
For what God has put before us in our marriage. And what love is patient and kind. That means we're taking responsibility not to react in the wrong way through all kinds of craziness because we're upset. And we do all kinds of undermining things when we're upset. We just do. We traumatize in ways that are very... The heart is deceitful above all things, right? And desperately wicked. And so that patience, it's taking personal responsibility not to act out, not to react, but to act in love, right? Not to say, how dare you, blah, 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 just say whatever comes to your mind. We do that, don't we? Often we're good at it. So instead of that, you know, be patient, be willing to be inconvenienced, constantly be willing to be hurt, be willing, you know, to be taken advantage of. That's patience. How do I do that? I don't have the power. Exactly. It comes from God. I don't have patience. Unless you're really good to me, then I'll have patience with you. But if you're really bad to me, I don't have any patience with you. And that's the beautiful thing about marriage. You're in it. Till death do you part. You got to figure this out. You got to figure this out. Steve.
One of the surprising things I found out after many years is that, and I don't think our society understands this very well, is that men and women are different.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Newsflash.
And one of the really difficult areas for me is, as a man, I want to, as many of us do, want to fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she has a problem and she comes to me with a problem, I want to be, because I'm good at sermonizing, I can give her a sermon, and I think that fixes everything. It doesn't fix everything, does it?
No.
I can give her all the good biblical advice that I can give, even stuff that I've gone through, and that doesn't help. What she wants is for me to listen to her. That's all she wants.
Yes.
Is for me to listen.
Yes.
You know, and put my arm around her and understand, you know.
And Steve, I'll ask you, and maybe I should ask Robin, is a woman's communication always going to be unaffected, or is sometimes she going to unburden her heart and sometimes get excited about things? The decibel level may go up, right? And the concern, intensity. And that's one thing that a man, like, wants to run from, right? Want to run. Go.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
Fix her, you know?
Fix her now.
I don't want to. Okay, and so I think what you're saying is sometimes what we do when we're talking to our wife, we're not really listening. We're really trying to shut her down.
Mm. Mm.
Okay, I don't need the whole story. I don't need every detail. I just want the bottom line. I want as little as possible so we can stop talking and I can turn on whatever I want to turn on or go to this. We want to shut her down. We don't really want to listen. Because a lot of times a man is trying to just, okay, stop that intensity. Something's wrong. So let's get that out of the way so I can do what I want to do. And we need to have the idea of listening for companionship's sake. Mm. Yes. Listening, getting on the same page.
Yes.
I had a moment of jealousy in my marriage. Many times early on in my marriage, I would be jealous of my mother-in-law. Some of you know Marie. She's going to be teaching at the ladies' tea coming up. But when I was with my wife would kind of clam up and, you know, we would talk about the Lord. We would do those things, formal things. But when she got on the phone with her mom, she was laughing. She was free. And I was like, why doesn't she do that with me? She's so free with her mom. Why can't she talk to me that way? You know why? I'm not a woman. Yes, that's true. But I've never given her any reason to trust me with that part of her. Because I've been impatient and I have not been kind. I've been selfish. I've been arrogant. I've been rude. I've been irritable. All the things that love is not. I've not been loving. So why would she trust me to be her free self in front of me? Why? Because every time she's her free self and she gets intense and I squash her, I solve the problem and get out of my way, I'm going to live my life. Now serve me. Isn't that right? Some of you ladies are like, wow, I'm not the only one. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's a hard thing. Listening, having a companionship relationship with your wife. Yes, Mike, Pastor Michael.
I was just thinking that, you know, love being a verb, but that also comes out of a nature. Like God, the reason God loves and we see that in action is because he is love by nature. And when we cultivate that love in our from that fellowship with God as a fruit of the Spirit, as we seek the Lord and it becomes part of our very nature to love, then I think that, you know, with listening, I mean, just think about how much God loves us, that he listens to our prayers with such patience, you know. And then I just think of myself, my impatience for my wife, you know, because I just know it's the area where I'm weak is patience. And don't we just want to be like God, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But to love our wives like Christ loves the church. Mm-hmm. And that means we listen to her. Mm-hmm. But not because, just because it's a command, but because we cultivate in our hearts a true love. A love that comes from God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so good. So I like what Pastor Michael said. It's about nature. It's about walking with God and having your nature changed. It's not about checking a list. Was I patient? You know, like even the Love Dare book, there's like 40 days. It's very mechanical. Well, that's good. We need discipline. We need the mechanics. So don't put that away. But make sure the ground is tilled and soft. That's nature. I can water concrete all day long. That's what keeping the law is without a really sanctified heart in marriage. Well, I'm going to give her flowers because God commands me to be nice to my wife. Oh, sweetheart, here's your flowers. Oh, thank you. Oh, no, don't thank me. God commanded me to do it. So, you know. Now let's have that 10-second kiss before I go. Because Pastor Matt said we need to have a 10-second kiss every day before I go to work. Well, that's a good idea. To have a 15-second kiss. But you don't do it out of command, out of law, but out of nature, out of walking with God, out of love, real love. And you're not going to feel that way unless you're walking with God. You're not going to want to love your wife. You're not going to want to love your husband, ladies. You're not. He's not lovable. really. There's a lot. He's a knucklehead much of the time. And so you need to get with God so you can have a perspective of your husband. God's working on him, right? He's working on him. He's working on you. It gives you some hope. It's not about me. It's about my relationship with God and how God's given me this person to be Jesus to. That's what love is. We're going to close just with a few of the things that love always is on page 44. And we'll just skip one up on number 10. Love doesn't rejoice in when a person falls spiritually, but rejoices in the truth, in spiritual growth, when the person is walking in the truth. And sometimes we have a real negative view of spirituality, which we shouldn't. Like, okay, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong. There are churches like that. There are marriages like that. That's not the Bible. It's good news, right? It's good news. So we need to be rejoicing in spiritual growth, not just pounding on the bad. We can point fingers all day long, and that will not help us to grow. We need to say, you know, notice the things, even if they're little tiny things, and encourage. But love is love always, number 11, protects, covers, bears things, like a soldier jumping on the grenade to bear the brunt. Are you protective of your spouse? Sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're throwing grenades at our spouse, right? Instead of protecting them. In other words, there's some evil grenades that are kind of come up into your heart. Don't throw them. Keep your mouth quiet. Guard your heart. Put a door, a cage, a steel contraption on your mouth. Don't say everything that just comes to mind. Don't throw those grenades. Let them explode inside of you. Take them to God. So protect. Love always does this. You're always stuffing it, not so that you have a mental breakdown, but you're bringing it to God, not lashing out at your spouse or your children. We often do that. Sometimes we come home from work, right? And we feel defeated. And we take that defeat, that grenade of defeat, and we throw it at our wife and children. Or, ladies, you're defeated in what you're doing in the home, or if you have a job, and you're just defeated. And you come home and you're cranky. You're just all over the place, and you just don't know what to do. And you're throwing grenades at everybody. Love doesn't do that. Love always protects. Protects the other person from those things that can hurt them. This is a big one. Love believes the best. Often we think the worst, and we've got a list of 20 years of ways that we can prove the worst about the other person, and we can't remember many, you know, we can't remember the Ten Commandments in order, but we can remember all of those things, and we don't believe the best. Love always is optimistic. So you know, this is the idea that when your spouse maybe is so backslidden and you see them, or maybe you're so backslidden, you know, what do you need if you're really, really backslidden? You need a lecture? No, you don't need a lecture. Aren't we good at giving our backslidden spouse a lecture? How dare you? You are well, they know that already. Don't we all know how wretched we are? Don't we all know that? Love is optimistic. I know this is the talk you need to have with your backslidden spouse. I know God has a great work he's doing in you, and he started it, and he's going to complete it. Right? That's the talk you need to always, always have. Not pointing fingers. There is time for loving introspection. Loving accountability, there is time for that. I'm not saying that you should not have that. You should have that. But it's optimistic. And then we persevere. We endure all things. We go beyond normal limits and boundaries. We're there. Sometimes we say, I can't take it anymore. I just can't take living with you. I'm done with this. It's just, I've had it up to here. And you've had it up to here for like a long, long time. Right? That's not how love is. You need to get alone with God and be ready to endure with that person till the end. And it never ends. If you will do this, it will produce eternal fruit in your life. That when everything else falls away, love will remain. It's Christ-likeness. And it goes hand in hand with the Second Peter passage. We're done. But please, your homework is to read these few pages of chapter 6, Leading by Listening. We're going to be talking about listening next week. And then also, if you haven't done the ways a husband or wife may express love to their spouse, please do that. You just checkmark the ways you're neglectful. What I want you to do is do that and then pray through that list. Pray through that list. Say, Lord, I can't do this. This isn't me, but I'm asking you to give this to me. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Help us as we go to worship today to be joyful, to be ready to receive a blessing from you. Help us in our marriage to be ready to bless our spouse each moment of every day through love. In Jesus' name, amen.